This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. She's Mandy Bell. Hello, Mandy.
Hi, Mandy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Apparently, we're 10 times stronger than we were at the start of quarantine.
Mandy, do you see what I
believe it.
See? Someone has faith in me, Phil.
Oh, she's just nicer than I am.
Oh, that's true. That's
she doesn't believe it either. Yeah. Mandy, congratulations. You now have something to cover other than, well, they said this, and then these guys said this, and neither guy liked what the other guys had to say. So congratulations. I'm glad it's back. Your thought, first of all, just about the return and the structure of the return of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, just a big sigh of relief once we finally reach this point. It's nice to have baseball and actual roster decisions and season-type things to be discussing and writing about now. It's going to be interesting. I think we're going to learn a lot over the next few days once players start getting into their home cities and getting tested. I think that's going to be the first challenge that everyone has to go through is those first few days of camp when everyone's getting tested and we see how many positive reports end up coming back. I think once everyone gets through that first hurdle and hopefully everyone, fingers crossed, that it's not as bad as what it could end up being. And as long as that ends up being the first hurdle that everyone gets over, I think it should be an interesting process how it gets underway. And I think the 60-game sprint should be obviously something very, very different than what we're used to. But I think it has a potential to be super fun and super interesting and just keep everyone on their toes for every single game. So I'm excited to see how this year pans out.
So what's the logic behind keeping five spots open on the 60-man pool?
I think it just gives them a little bit of wiggle room to add. I mean, I don't know what internally they're thinking, if they want to make any more additions before the season starts, if they're looking at unsigned guys right now, if they're looking to make a trade still. I mean, who knows what they're thinking of that. I think it just allows them not to get locked in. Once you hit that 60 number, then you start having to play a mental game of chess of figuring out what you're going to do, because if guys aren't on your 40-man, then they have to be released if they're going to come off of that 60-man player pool. And if they are on the 40-man, then they're going to have to clear waivers. And if there's any sort of weird situation that pops up that you would need to add, I think they just max it out as high as they could to give them that breathing room of, okay, if we need to add here or there, we don't have to worry about losing one of these guys, because the prospects that they have that aren't on the 40-man roster, they're all their top prospects, and they're in there for the long haul, and they just want to make sure they have development. So they don't want to have to be getting it to the point where they have to be putting this puzzle together. So I just think it's giving them some breathing room.
Mandy, no surprise, and Mandy Bell joining us, covers the Indians for MLB.com. I was intrigued but not surprised to see some of the top young prospects coming in, because it's developmental time. You know, that the Indians, if these guys weren't coming in, the Indians aren't helping them develop in theory, right? So some of the top prospects that we've heard coming up through the pipeline are part of this 60-man or 55-man group at this point. And that allows them to do what? Continue to work with the Indians all season long, correct?
Correct. So they're in it for the whole season now. They'll be reporting over to the alternate site in Lake County that they'll be using, because they're not going to be in the running to make the 30-man roster straight out of the gate. So they're going to be able to still get some time. The biggest thing is that they're going to have in-person instruction still, and they're going to be working with with their coaching staff, and it's not like they have to try to figure out through Zoom how to make sure that, that these prospects are still getting the attention that they need. And I know it's a tough situation, and there's no official word on minor league baseball yet, and it's all up in the air. But they definitely want to make sure that the guys that they pick still receive some growth and developmental time, and I think that's just the biggest part of this. And I know Antonetti talked last week when we talked to him about, yeah, there's going to be a small group of guys that we include on our in our player pool that we're going to try to make sure that we can get attention to still. But the biggest question that'll still remain is how can we make sure that the largest group still out there of the people that we can't be in person with, how can we make sure that we're still getting them the coaching instruction that they need. So it's not like everyone else is going completely unattended to, but yeah, it'll be nice to have these guys like Nolan Jones and all their other top guys actually in person getting some like inner squads and live at bats and things like that.
All right, Mandy, let me ask, I'm trying to get this straight. You've got a 60 man pool. Can you change do you submit a new roster at the beginning of every game? With 27 players, is that what it is now? I can't remember where we're at on roster size. But is that what's going to happen every day you submit a new 27-man roster, which I think would make sense if you're looking at a guy like Carlos Carrasco, okay? If Carlos Carrasco doesn't need to be at the ballpark all 5 days, what does Carlos really need to be there for? Working out, and he can do that virtually alone or with somebody on staff, side sessions, right, and the days he starts. He really doesn't need to come in contact with a lot of people. If you know he's your starting pitcher and you worry about him a little bit more than you would other guys, wouldn't that make sense? Like on nights that he's not pitching, I don't think he needs to be there. Or the other four starters on nights that they're not pitching. I think it's safer to have those guys away from the game because you're not going to run those guys out there anyway. So why even have them at the ballpark? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. I mean, especially in a case like Carlos Carrasco after going through his whole battle of leukemia last year, I think that's a great point. I don't necessarily know that the jovial spirit of Carlos Carrasco, if he'd be able to keep himself away from the game whenever he's not starting, because you can just tell from his social media posts and just his personality, he is just chomping at the bit to be back with the guys and have baseball back. And you could tell in spring training this year how excited he was just to be back in the running for the rotation and just getting back into some normalcy. Now, anything, it's all but normal right now what we're having to go through. So I'm sure there's conversations, ongoing conversations, about making sure that he especially is going to be making sure that he's in the best position possible to make sure that his health comes first. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think that 30-man roster, I mean, if you're going to be submitting every single day, I think you're going to have to be making options if they're not going to be on that list. So I think whether or not they're actually in attendance at the game is going to be different, but they wouldn't be able to just take them off for one single night. It'll be 30 man for the first 2 weeks of the season. Then it'll drop to 28 2 weeks after that. And then it'll go down to 26. So they're slowly getting it back down to where it is a nice little warm, easy warm up into the season because spring training is shortened. But yeah, it could be interesting to see if they try to make sure that some of these guys stay away from the ballpark if needed.
Mandy, am I correct? Since Emmanuel Clase A was suspended for what, 80 games, he's done for this year, right?
Correct. It's going to end up being fewer games that he actually gets suspended for, but it's a higher percentage of the season now because it's 100% of the season. So, okay. Yes, it'll stay. It's not going to carry over into 2021 as of now, assuming that 2020 is completed in full.
So much for that part of the Corey Kluber trade. I've been waiting to ask an actual baseball question that had relevance because we knew we were going to be playing baseball, so here we go. Look at all the outfielders that they have. I see two guys who I think, all right, that guy is going to be a part of this, Oscar Mercado and Franmil Reyes. How does the rest of it sort out? Because you have Greg Allen and Jake Bowers and Delino DeShields and Daniel Johnson and Luke Lowe and Naquin and Domingo Santana, who I liked a lot, and Bradley Zimmer. Man, they've got a lot of guys to sort through, but a lot of question marks on each and every one of those guys.
Yeah, they do. Mercado's the number one. He'll be in center field, and he has his spot. Franmil Reyes and Domingo Santana will likely battle it out here to see who's in left, who's DHing. I think that's what it'll come down to. I think by the end of spring training, it seemed to maybe be leaning more towards Reyes in the outfield and Santana DHing. But, I mean, I think it could go either way, and I think they'll learn more over the next 3 weeks of who's better where. I know neither of them are really known for their defensive abilities, so it'll just be just as much as who has a better camp over the next 3 weeks. Now, right field's a little bit different. I think Naquin, if he's completely healthy, his season last year, he proved finally a lot being able to have a healthy season up until August. And I know he was extremely frustrated that he was having his best season since his rookie year and his healthiest season, and then he had to come out for the last 2 months because of that ACL tear. So I think he proved a lot last year, and if he can show in camp that he's healthy and he's back and he can pick up where he left off, I think he has a good chance of being the favorite to earn that right field starting job. But Jordan Lupo's right behind him. And I know Luplo wants to prove he can be more than a platoon guy who just mashes left-handers. But I think that worst case scenario, the two of them could just be platooning in right. Then you have Delino DeShields as a depth piece. I know he's been playing center basically his entire life, but he said he feels comfortable if he's needed to move around in the outfield. He has the speed and the athleticism, so I don't think the Indians are concerned if they would have to move him. And then from there, if you're choosing one more, maybe Jake Bowers, because he gives you some versatility to at least play first. But it's going to be interesting between he and Allen and Daniel Johnson and Bradley Zimmer. It's going to be interesting, but I think maybe Bowers at this point.
What's the Tito factor here? And I say that as far as confidence and having confidence in a manager that's going to be able to lead you through a 60-game season. I think that the Indians are not only are they in great shape because they play one of the easiest schedules of anybody in baseball during their 60 games based on last year, but I think they have the manager that can help them like nobody else. I just really think that if you handed somebody a gimmick season and said, go win, I mean, I really trust Tito on this thing. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think that the Indians would say the same thing. There's a lot of people who would say there's no one better in these types of situations. There's no one better when adversity's thrown at them or there's hurdles to overcome than having Tito be the man in charge. And I think they truly feel that way. Antonetti has made it very clear that that the front office feels that way. I think he's way more than capable of handling this type of stuff. He's way more than capable at handling and bringing clubhouses together whenever it seems a little bit rocky. He did that a couple times last year, and he's so good at what he does. And to be able to watch him do that every day, you really understand more than just a spectator. You can see it firsthand how good he is at his job. So I really do think that. I know the one concern is that he's notorious for his teams getting off to slow starts, but I think we're going to learn really quickly whether or not that's just a Tito factor or if that's just Cleveland weather in typically March and April, and if it'll help them picking up in July rather than going through the frigid temperatures that we're used to start the year. So I think we're going to learn a lot pretty quickly whenever we get off to a start here, but I do think that that's definitely an advantage for them to have Tito.
Better not start slowly, right? Because it's over before you know it. Mandy, thank you very much. We appreciate your time, and we are glad that you're back to work doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that's covering a baseball team.
Oh, thank you so much. I am, too. Thanks for having me, guys.
Mandy Bell. Thanks, Mandy. Covers the Indians for MLB.com, and you heard her on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.